Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy,
and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Everyone, welcome to Too Scary Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I'm also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I love watching scary movies, and so I watch them so that you don't have to, and never have I regretted that more than today.
Oh no!
I hated this movie.
No!
You did? That never happens.
Oh. I hated it more than Green Inferno. Oh, I think it's the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. And furious afterwards. And no. I thought about watching a whole new movie to talk to you guys about, but then
God,
I thought people need to know how much I hate this movie.
Oh my God, no.
So buckle up, but before we get into that.
Oh no.
This is horrible news.
Did anything scary happen to us this week besides what's about to happen to us?
Oh God, no. Oh no.
I think the only thing I want to tell you guys about, I haven't talked about this yet, right? How I'm rewatching The Vampire Diaries.
Well, you have talked to us a lot about how we must watch The Vampire Diaries, but I don't know.
I was just going to say, is that a joke? That's like, I feel like you talk about it all the time.
Like once a day minimum, you mention Vampire Diaries.
No, but not on the podcast. It's not public knowledge.
I think you have brought it up on the podcast before.
Yeah. How do you know? You bring it up once a day.
Have I used it as a check-in actually?
I don't know.
No, and I'm dying to hear about it.
I want
to
know.
Even if you have, let's
I almost watched it the other day, Henley, which is gonna make you furious because then I didn't. But like, you know, it's
same.
You're working, you're, you know.
It's getting closer to a reality for Emily.
Wearing us down is the words I was trying to find.
We're circling pressing the play button on on that show.
The Vampire Diaries is such a perfect show in so many ways. I have already seen it, and I recently was thinking about what I should watch, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to see how I feel to rewatch this show that I really enjoyed the first time. I don't usually rewatch things in this way, but I was like, I'll just put it on. If I'm bored, you know, I'll turn it off. You guys, blink of an eye, four episodes in, they haven't gotten up from the couch. Like, I'm doing it. I'm doing it hard.
Doing it hard.
And it's like, the show is everything. The show is like a mix of like Gilmore Girls meets like True Blood. I can't even say True Blood. That's not even really accurate because it's so tame. Riverdale. It's like, there's a
I don't like the tone with which you said that.
No, that was so dismissive.
So really points against.
Riverdale. So Vampire Diaries also gets as crazy as Riverdale does, but not as insane. And I don't know what to say about it, except for the fact that all of the actors are like so pristine looking and kind of either like it. They're like too perfect looking. So either you're going to be
Nina
into
Dobrev,
it.
Right?
Yeah. Is that how you say her last name? I don't
I
even
no
know.
Idea. I've never said it out loud. I just freaking went for it.
It's that sounds right. Nina
you said it with a lot of confidence. Dobrev.
This other person named Candace King, who has a pretty funny Instagram presence now. Ian Somerhalder.
Oh,
and,
okay. This is what his deal is.
Yeah.
People
and
love
Paul
him.
Wesley. Yeah. They now
he looks
own,
like he was made for the Vampire Diaries.
See, he doesn't do it for me, but perhaps if I watch the vampire every time I'm like, I hear that name and I'm like, oh right, who's this guy? And I look him up, I'm like, this guy?
See,
he's also in the Rules of Attraction, right? I think maybe that's what I like him from.
I don't know. But he's a whole vibe.
He's definitely a vibe. And him and Paul Wesley, who's the other main vampire, are still like best friends. And now they own like a bourbon company together. And
that's what
like,
famous men do together. They open alcohol brands with their friends.
And they just post these like incredibly awkward Instagram videos of themselves on their Oceanside Malibu mansion. It's, you know, the Vampire Diaries has taught me a lot. It's taught me about friendship. That's the main thing. It's taught me about how to be a better friend. It's really inspired me about what to do in life or death situations.
Wow. So we have a lot to thank for to Vampire Diaries.
It's just such a deep comfort to me. And I don't even know like how I got here, but I just need you guys to know that it's still the best show I've ever seen. And if you guys want to rewatch it with me, I'll watch it again with you.
Yeah, where are you in it right now?
I'm only just finishing the first season, so I really don't remember anything that happens in the later seasons.
When did it come out?
There's so many episodes. It's like 2009, I think.
Okay, yep.
2010. Yep. So all of the early 2010s fashion, you know, the low-rise bootcut jeans, the tight cardigans, it's a vibe. You guys, someone else save me from myself because I don't even know.
I'm going to watch this show. Eventually, I promise you that.
Eventually, I promise you that I will watch it as well.
I just had a beautiful fantasy of us as like the Golden Girls, retired, living together, binge-watching Vampire Diaries.
For the 45th time.
I've never been happier
that
in my
nice.
Life.
Well, another thing that I hope we all do together until the day we die is go to the Korean spa. I went to the Korean spa for the very first time. Can you believe that? And I guess that's what's scary is that it was the first time I'd ever been. And what's also scary is
which one do you go to?
Maybe my favorite thing on earth now. We went to Wee Spa.
Okay, nice.
Which for those who are familiar with the Korean spas of Los Angeles, it's like the not fancy one. And I absolutely loved it. I've never. Wow. I have a lot of thoughts about it. It's great. It's so great. I was talking to Joel about it because I think like the male association with being naked around a bunch of other men is really different. It's really different. And a lot of people aren't comfortable being naked around a lot of people. I definitely did not used to be. But there's something about being there where it's just like you immediately are just like, well, right. Yeah, we're all naked. And it's like you just like don't even think about it. So that's also it's great and very freeing.
Were some people clothed?
No, you're not allowed to be.
You're not allowed. Okay, okay. That's important.
There's like a
the sauna floor.
The sauna like floor. They are separated by sex, which is the thing I'm a little bit curious about, the dynamics of that in terms of inclusivity. But putting that aside for the moment, because that's not something that my brain can deal with in this moment. It was really great. And there were just all ages of women, all different kinds of bodies. It's really freeing just to be like, oh, right, we all just have like parts assembled together in a way. And like, who cares? And the thing that made me really happy is there were a couple children there. And I was like, man, imagine if you were raised to having seen all different kinds of bodies and like be comfortable with your own and not feel like it's weird. I just like can't even fathom that. Like,
I know.
I think it's so also amazed.
More common in other countries where there's nude beaches and it's more normalized. I think it's like very American to be like so sex focused and also so repressive.
Yeah,
like
it's really wild.
It's really confusing.
It's really confusing. And I think that was my biggest takeaway from being there. It's just like, oh, like I have never felt more naked in my entire life. Like never in my entire life have I felt more naked, but also never have I felt more like my body is just the thing that like holds
your organs together.
Yeah. Like it was just like, so because I want to talk about, I got Sammy, being the lovely friend that she has, got me a little gift certificate. And so I booked a treatment. I got a massage with a scrub. Have you ever done this, Henley?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm so glad I did it. It was like the funniest experience of my life because I feel like so many spas you go to, like Western and American spas, it's like peaceful music, everybody talks in like a whisper and come on in here, have your privacy, I'll be right back. And this one is like, get on the table.
Like we hose you down.
Yes. Like you are butt ass naked, like truly just like naked. Everyone around you is naked. Literally everyone. They walk you down in front of everyone who's also getting all their treatments done onto a plastic massage table. You lie face down on it. They throw buckets of water onto you like you're a beached whale. And they're just okay, turn over. And like splashing water on you. And okay, sit up. And she was like, it's just like you are like just roughed around because the point is it feels like so much healthier in that it feels like it comes from a culture where it's just like, right, you just like take care of your body and every now. It's not like spa. It's not treating yourself. It's like, yeah, get a scrub, get cleaned off, like be, you know what I mean? It's just like, I truly, it was making me laugh so hard at like every massage I've ever gotten where it's like so discreet and they like, you know, you're naked. And so they have you turn around and they like hold the sheet up to block your little body. And then when they pull your leg out, they like wrap your leg in the sheet. And this much, she was just like grabbing me, turning me over, throwing water on me, scrubbing my body. Like it was not at all relaxing, but in a way that felt like so freeing. I was trying the whole time to be like embed every moment of this into your brain. Like never forget what the full 90 minutes of this experience was.
It was 90 minutes too.
It was 90 minutes. It was absolutely incredible. I'm obsessed with it. I had the time of my life. But I just want to say, like, if people have thoughts about Korean spas, like experiences that I should have or whatever, like, just let me know. Also, if you identify as male and you go to the Korean spa, I'm also curious. I want to know what that I want to know what that floor is like.
It seemed like there were a lot of men there. And yeah. I think it's probably somewhat similar that it's like weird at first.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of get used to it. Or maybe it's less weird. Maybe men are like more.
Not the men I know.
Never nudes.
They're not. I just think I don't know. But I'm curious. And that's all I want to do now. OK, Sammy, did anything scary happen to you this week?
I had the week off of work this week, which was really, really lovely. The opposite of scary. Mm-hmm. So great. So wonderful. And I am kind of like anti-work in general.
Right.
But part of the subreddit anti-work shout out. But there's something so nice about working full time and then getting time off. It feels way different from my regular time off as a freelancer.
Right. Yes.
Where I feel like guilty, like I should be doing something. Mm-hmm. But when you mm-hmm. have very designated and limited time off, it just feels so special and exciting. And I booked myself a trip to Idlewild and was there for a night, and it was really, really lovely. And I'm just curious if you guys do this, where I've noticed every time I travel anywhere or take any little weekend trip or anything, it's like mostly very nice and great. But then at least 5% of the time I'll be spiraling about the version of my life that could be lived in this place and that I'm not living it. I immediately looked up real estate in Idlewild. I'm like, mm-hmm. should I move here? What would my life be like here? I did that in Toronto as well. Like, it's just anywhere I go, I get a little bit of panic of like, what if my life here would be better than my life where I am now, which is probably something I should talk about in therapy. I'm sure there's deeper reasons as to why this is happening, but I'm just curious if you guys ever feel that way.
I do that. I absolutely do that. I look up real estate wherever I'm going. I like think about what it would be like to live there. But I would say it's without the anxiety and without the spiraling.
That sounds healthy.
My anxiety and spiraling. No, but I definitely have no matter what.
No,
it's there. It's there.
I'll tell you when I spiral.
It's just more standard. It's like I feel like I'm doing it wrong. Like anytime I travel anywhere, I'm like, I'm doing it wrong.
I get that as well. Like I'm missing out the right things to do.
And it's not even, it's both like I'm missing out the right things. I'm missing like the right restaurant or the right activity, but it's also like, fuck, I'm not in the right state of mind. Like if I was in a better state of mind, I would be going on a walk right now. I would be having little discoveries. I would be feeling relaxed. I would walk into a restaurant and have a meal without even Google searching it and looking up the star rating. Like I would be writing in my journal. I'd be listening to music. I'd be listening to a whole album. I'd be listening to an album from the beginning to the end. Like I always want to be doing things like that when I'm traveling. And instead I'm just like, tweaking out, like feeling like anxious about nonsense.
You know what? I was telling Emily about this, but I'm reading this book called A Calm Brain that talks about how our brains are not wired for this much choice in our everyday lives. And the fact that we have to make choices between what feels like infinite options, basically every moment of every day is...
ruining our life.
Not natural and not good for our brains and not what our brains are wired to handle. So
I feel like, with like, it's like social media, internet and everything. It makes it so much worse because you can also like see everything else that's happening all the time.
Right.
It's like, no.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't really have a good like answer or solution or anything, but maybe next time that's happening, you can at least remind yourself like, oh, right. My brain is not built to deal with this situation, and that's where that anxiety is stemming from.
It's just, well, it's a yet another reason why I should meditate and why everyone should probably be meditating. Yet, sure. Can I meditate? Can I ever find myself meditating? Absolutely not. I'll do it once and then I'll be like, good, I've done it, and I'll do it again in 3 months.
Yeah, it's hard. It's a hard habit.
I thought
to build.
You were gonna say you spend 5% of your time being scared you're gonna die. There.
I know,
because that's what I do. I start to go, wouldn't this be a bad way for it all to end? And sometimes it's about like where I am. Like I'm like you stayed in a cabin by yourself. I will spend it. If I'm in a cabin by myself, I spend 50% of the time being like, I'm so relaxed. 50% being like, oh, I'm going to die.
There was that as well. And surprisingly, it's not from being murdered. It's from like, if I go outside, a bear is going to attack me. You know, I'm scared
interesting. Mine is murder or, plane crash on my way there, or my car's gonna crash, like something stupid where it's like, did I do this nice thing just for it to be the last thing I'll ever do? I think about that sometimes.
I will say I did not watch a scary movie there. I was
that's set good.
Boundary because I didn't want those thoughts in my head. But overall, it was a very lovely trip, and I've had a very nice week off going to the spa. I'm making a lot of effort to relax, but it is very hard to relax. I will say that.
Intentional relaxation
to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we went to the spa and then you came home and watched the worst movie you've ever seen.
I'm so mad.
You hated it more than the Green Inferno?
A lot more.
No!
Yeah.
No!
You thought it might be fun.
Let's talk about
no.
it. This week's movie is The Sadness.
I hate the name.
Yeah, a lot of people recommended this. I'm mad at all of you.
Oh, no. Okay, you know how it feels.
You all need to take a good hard look at yourselves in the mirror. Yeah, oh. I do know how it feels.
I'm like mentally putting armor on. I'm literally constructing armor around my body.
Who should I be mad at? Anybody I know?
I don't know if it was necessarily recommendation like, oh, this movie is so... It was recommended to me as like, oh, this movie's so fucked up. Which...
Okay.
It is.
Okay.
But not even in a good way. I mean, I have so many thoughts that we'll get more into,
It
was written and directed by Rob Shabazz, starring Bharat Zhu, Regina Lee, Yi Rung Chen, Tzu Ching Wang, and it's on Shudder. It's a Shudder original.
Uh-oh.
Well, Shudder, you can just go fuck yourself, huh?
So, Shudder, yeah, we take it back. We don't want you to sponsor us anymore.
Actually, I know you're not asking, but if you were asking, we would say no. right now, at least.
Pissed. Okay, and get ready for this. This movie has a 91% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Fuck.
So,
what?
I cannot trust Rotten Tomatoes for anything ever again.
Damn it.
A flawed system, which I did know, but...
When did it come out?
This year.
Oh, so it's new. I feel like newer ones have higher rate. Well, I don't know. I just made that up. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know how it happened. It has a 68% on Metacritic and a 6.5 on IMDb. So
everything does. So what are we supposed to do with that?
Yeah, those are pretty normal ratings. It's not these are not the ratings that it deserves, which is 000.
000.
Oh, no. I have never seen you be this upset about a movie. I'm like, I am not happy.
I basically spent the whole movie trying to decide if I should turn it off or not. Like, I kept having that internal debate with myself. Should I call it quits now? Should I cut my losses now? But then it just reached a point where I just felt like I had been through so much that I needed to vent about it. I was angry. It's not too long. It's like 99 minutes.
But if you're hating it, that'll feel long.
Felt like days.
We just watched Banshees of Inisherin, which I did really like half of it. And then the second half, I was like, well, thank God this movie's short. It'll be over soon. And then it didn't. That second half, it was long. It was really long.
Yeah, time slows down when you're not having fun.
It does indeed.
Not a lot of trivia about this movie. Also couldn't find a budget. There's obviously no box office. Went straight to Shudder.
$37.
What?
Say it made $37.
I heard that's on average. 37.
Yeah, I hope so. That's more than it deserves. You're just going to keep being so mean. Oh, my God. The film was funded with a mixture of cryptocurrency and revenue from a producer's camgirl business. Thought that was interesting.
Okay. Camgirl, interesting. Cryptocurrency, I don't understand.
I know. It's like one of those I'm like, uh-oh. And one of those I'm like,
Tell me more.
And there's very little CGI in this movie. 99% of the special effects are practical effects. I think that's the main thing that people liked about it is the gore does mostly look pretty good. I wouldn't say it looks, incredible, but it's not bad. And I think people were just very shocked by it. I'm like so confused about how this movie got good reviews.
Have you read some of the positive review? I'm curious what they would say.
Yeah, they're saying a daring new voice in horror.
No.
Really uninhibited by
to
trying to get a message across, which isn't praise in my book.
Wow.
Oh my God. Well done.
Oh man. Okay. Well,
so We've got a trailer. We've got a Red Band trailer. I'm assuming you don't want to watch the Red Band trailer.
We've got regular, and
we've got Red Band. I figured I'd let you guys choose.
Wow, that is a real mark of how much you hated this movie. Is you're not going to make us watch the Red Band trailer?
No, I think you guys probably couldn't handle it, to be honest.
Fucking Christ.
I've literally never seen Sammy this mad before. I've never seen her. I can see it in her eyes. Her eyes are like dead behind them.
Never been this
She's
mad.
She's so mad.
I've never been this mad.
All right, regular trailer, please.
Regular trailer, even that reluctantly.
You guys are gonna hate this movie so much.
What if we didn't?
Wait, it's not too late for us to stop. Let's just not do it.
Let's just not do it. This looks horrible.
Okay. If we had to do movies like this every week, I simply would not be able to do this podcast.
We wouldn't still be here.
I think this is going to be the worst one we've ever done. I'd rather watch Human Centipede on Earth every day for the rest of my life than watch this movie again.
Wait, no. I don't know how to turn my ears off. I want to just shut my brain down. I'm so scared about hearing this movie. I'm so scared.
Yeah, start shutting it down, Henley. Start shutting it.
Can you just talk like really fast?
Or you know what? You just don't have to include everything. You know?
That's
you
true.
Skip some stuff.
Do you need to be able to not hold this alone?
That was kind of my thinking while watching it was I just first of all, as a way to potentially protect others from making the mistake of watching this movie themselves, someone might think, oh, that movie, I've heard a lot about that movie. Maybe I should watch it. And then they could listen to this podcast, even just the first, just right now, till right now-ish, and even turn this off and say, never mind.
You can walk away
and walk away.
You can walk away.
So that's why this is like a true service to others to say this one.
Sammy, thank you. Bless you.
Except it's not a service to you guys because you guys will have to hear about it, but it's a service to potential listeners.
Oh my God.
You're going to want to skip this one.
It's so funny to record a podcast to tell people don't listen to this. Hey, you came here to listen to the podcast. We're here to say, don't. It'll still
you might
be here.
Not wanna.
We'll still be talking. You won't be listening. So yeah. What's this for?
Listen past the ad break and then.
Yes, please.
Oh my God.
All right. Well,
oh my God. Cool. Emily, are you okay?
No.
Okay. We're going to
no,
be fine.
No, I'm not.
We're going to be fine. We're going to do it.
Okay. I have tried a lot of meal kits in my day because I don't like to cook. I need as much help as I can get when it comes to meal times. But a lot of the kits I've tried, you know, they leave a little something to be desired. They're not super great quality, or maybe there's not great variety, or they're feel just kind of unhealthy. So imagine my surprise when I found Marley Spoon and discovered it doesn't have to be that way. You can have it all. I'm so happy this podcast is sponsored by Marley Spoon. They created the best tasting meal kit money can buy, and with my code TOOSCARY, you can get up to 25 free meals. They have over 100 meals to choose from each week, so you will not be getting bored. Last night, I made a shrimp burrito bowl that was so good, and tonight I'm making a Shion-style cumin turkey burger with pickled veggies and five spice fries. Excuse me, am I a five-star chef? You have any idea how boring all the stuff I usually make is? It's such a treat. And usually for something like this, I would pay probably $40 to have something delivered to me. And it would probably be gross and soggy by the time it got here anyways. So thank God for Marley Spoon. And you can customize many of the recipes. So whether you're looking for vegetarian, family friendly, low carb, they got you covered. They also have an online market of pantry essentials like snacks and ready to eat options. I'm telling you, you can have it all. I got a kit to make cookies in my first box. So experience the most personalized meal kit today with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/tooscary and use code 2scary for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, that's marleyspoon.com/offer/2scary for up to 25 free meals. And make sure you use my promo code 2scary so they know I sent you.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Let's just do it.
But yes, as you may have guessed, we will need some trigger warnings for this movie. A lot of violence. There is rape, there is sexual assault, and there is violence against children. So just basically everything bad.
Mm-hmm.
I have good news and bad news. Bad news is that, you know, we have to talk about this movie. Good news is that I absolutely refused to scroll through it again to take notes. So there's going to be some stuff I miss.
Great, great, great. Love that for us.
And so you're welcome for that. And thank for everything you. That I do remember, I am sorry.
Mm.
Okay, we start with a couple in bed waking up in the morning. This is Jim and Kat. And Kat mentions how they have a trip planned next week. Jim says he forgot about it and he now has booked work. And it seems like it's been hard for him to get work lately. So he's like, I have to take this job. I'm really sorry. She's very annoyed, says it's really hard for me to get time off work. And so they get in a little fight. She goes in the bathroom to get ready. And he's in the living room and turns on the TV. And we see an interview with a reporter guy and a scientist. And the scientist is warning about the Alvin virus. And the reporter is brushing it off and saying, you know, nobody's died yet. All you scientists are really making a whole big thing out of nothing.
A great prediction for what you can count on in the future. Nobody's died yet.
Yeah.
Calm down.
And the scientist says he's very worried about the potential mutations of the Alvin virus and that it seems to be in the family close to rabies. And it just has some scary potential. A future that nobody seems to be too worried about except for him.
Probably shouldn't have named it the Alvin virus. It doesn't sound very
threatening. Yeah, that's true.
It's like how people take hurricanes with male names more seriously than female names. Isn't that crazy? And that's a fact I've never once verified. I just heard it.
Well, we don't do that here.
And I repeat it. So.
We see Jim go out to the balcony and there is a person on a roof across from him, like a couple hundred feet away from him, that he can see is just staring off into the distance. It looks very eerie and weird. And they're in a nasty nightgown. Did I say that already?
No, but it's important.
And he calls out to her and says, are you okay? And this old woman turns around and the whole front of the nightgown is soaked in blood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And okay. I think she smiles up at him. And
no.
Then Kat comes out of the bathroom and is like ready to go. And by the time he turns and looks back, the old woman is gone. And they also run into his neighbor who has the balcony next to him. So they kind of have their little morning check-in. Hey, how are you? How's the day going? Whatever. And then Jim takes Kat to the subway station so she can go to work. And as they're driving, he's got a little Vespa. They're driving there and they pass by a really hectic, violent looking like arrest happening where it's cops arresting two or three people who are like drenched in blood that are acting like very violent and it's looking like very dramatic. Mm-hmm. Everyone's gathered mm-hmm. around watching mm-hmm. and they pass by it and notice it, but continue on to the subway station. And then on Jim's way back, he passes by the same spot and the cop car is seeming there's nobody around it anymore. And the cop car just has like all the doors open with one of the cop's vests like strung over the door. Nobody's around anymore.
Okay.
He goes to the corner cafe by his house to get some coffee. And as he's in there, the old woman that he saw on the roof walks in. We see her pass behind him.
Same nightgown. Yeah. Hasn't changed.
Nasty nightgown lady. Same nightgown. And other customers in the cafe notice her. And someone walks up to her to ask her if she's okay. And we get our first like good look at her face, and her teeth look really dirty. Like they have like brown all over them, and her eyes are puffy and swollen red. And this we'll just come to learn is kind of the identifying way to see if someone is infected. This is what they look like. And as this person asks if she's okay, she spits in his face, and her spit is the texture of hard-boiled egg yolk.
Ew! Ew. Sammy!
It's so gross.
No. These are the kinds of details we just don't need.
And he falls backwards, and she then kind of goes on a little rampage, and she reaches behind the counter and grabs a like pot of boiling oil that they're making fries in and dumps it on the cook's head, and then grabs his skin and is like peeling the skin off his head as it's melting. And as this is happening, we see the other customers start attacking each other as well. So the guy who's gotten spit in his face is also now like,
so they immediately
lunging
turn.
And trying to kill other people in the cafe.
Okay, pretty fucking okay. quick.
Yes, yeah, really but quick. This is one of my problems with the movie, is it's unclear how this is being transmitted. I'm guessing it's through the spit.
Or like any bodily fluid?
Because it's really inconsistent, because there's tons of bodily fluid in this movie, and not everybody who comes in contact with the fluids get infected. It doesn't seem to be airborne, but sometimes it does, and it just is unclear, and it just annoyed me. So Jim gets out of there really quick. He turns and runs, and as he's running back to his apartment, he sees various horrible sights, like people jumping out of windows of their apartments. It shows someone jumping out of a window. It shows them hitting the floor and really exploding.
Exploding!
And okay. Passes by like groups of infected people, like tearing people apart, and just blood everywhere and absolute mayhem. And he's running and running and running. And he gets back to his apartment, locks the door behind him, and he's texting Kat saying, "Where are you? Something really bad is happening. Don't come back here. People are going crazy. People are hurting each other. I'll come to you. Like, stay where you are." And as he's texting, we see from the balcony door his neighbor coming into his house mm-hmm. and sneaking up behind him. Jesus. And he turns around just in time, and we see his neighbor, who was, by the way, gardening when we first saw him, now is coming at him with a pair of garden shears and thrusts them at Jim. And Jim uses his hands and grabs the scissors part of the garden shears. So that's all he can like do to block it. So it's like cutting into his hands as he's trying to wrestle him away. And he like gets one hand out and is just holding it with one hand. And the guy slices it, cuts two of his fingers off.
La, la, la.
Okay.
And then says he's like laughing the whole time and really enjoying himself, the neighbor. And again, puffy red eyes. They also drool a lot, the infected. Ew. So there's like a lot of spit coming out of his mouth, and his eyes are really puffy. And he's laughing as he chops off the fingers. And he says, "Ew. Don't worry about your girlfriend. I'll finger her for you." Ew. And this is about when I started hating the movie. I was on board up until right now.
Yeah. No, thanks.
And that's my main issue with this movie is there's a lot of sexual violence in it, as I previously stated. And I just, believe it or not, don't find that fun or interesting at all. And
you don't?
It makes me really, really angry.
Yeah, it just feels like a really unnecessary thing, to say the least, especially when it's like not.
It's to no end.
Yeah, it's just
for entertainment.
Like when people use it as another, like, can you believe how fucked up this is? Right. It's like, well, people experience sexual violence right. every day, and that's a real thing. And so, like, exactly. let's not just throw it in for shock value because it feels crazy to you
exactly.
because you probably have never experienced it and maybe never will, aren't vulnerable to it, and that fucking sucks.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so
then the movie ends.
Roll credits.
Jim is able to, I think he hits the neighbor with a toaster and is able to get away, and he's running now out of his apartment trying to get to his Vespa. He passes a group of people who are gleefully stomping on someone's arm, like breaking it. And sure. he finds another group of people, again, ripping somebody else apart. And they don't notice him. And his Vespa's parked right by them. And so he knows that the second he tries to turn it on, it's going to alert them to his whereabouts. And so it's kind of a stressful moment of him turning the ignition. It's not going. And now they're all big smiling, running towards him, and he gets away at the last second and is driving his Vespa off into the distance. And we just see this kind of horde of infected people chasing him, but he's outrunning them. He's gonna get away. Cut to Kat on the train on her way to
really bad place to be when this is going down.
Yeah. She's on her way to work, oblivious to everything that has gone on, even though her phone is in her hand. She's on her phone. He has texted her. I don't know if maybe we've done like a very slight flashback in time. Maybe it's, you know, the same period of time happening again. But just thought it's just like little details like that that were also just felt like bad filmmaking to me, where it's like we just saw him text her. Her phone is in her hand. Why? It just feels sloppy, you know?
Is it because she's underground?
Yeah, maybe. But there's other things like that. I'll call them out because they all made me mad.
Did it cut back? Yeah, it's like cutting back to the exact same time frame that we just saw with him. That's what I thought
it might be. A repeat of time, but.
Or she's like me and like just on TikTok and not paying attention to the world around
true.
Her.
True. Could be that.
Oblivious.
Could be that. She could just be on TikTok.
That is true. And the guy sitting next to her is being a big old creep. This older guy, he's in the credits as businessman, so I'll call him businessman.
Great.
And he basically tells her that he sees her on the train all the time, and he's always wanted to tell her that he thinks she's really pretty. And she's at first being polite with him and saying, oh, that's really nice, thank you, like, I'm just reading right now. Oh, you know what? She's reading a book. I'm wrong. She was reading her book, because she says that. She says, I'm just focused on my book right now. And he asks her, like, what are you reading? And she's like, eventually gets annoyed. He's being way too persistent and creepy. And she's like, you know what? Like, I've asked you a few times now. Like, can you please just stop talking to me? And
impressive.
And he obviously gets very offended by that and says, like, oh, like, people these days, you can't even compliment a woman without her getting mad. And she gets up and she offers her seat to somebody else, and to this other woman who will become one of our characters in a moment here. So and as this is happening, we see another man on the train wearing big sunglasses, but we see that under his sunglasses, his eyes are looking pretty red and puffy. And he pulls out a switchblade from his pocket and just goes on a stabbing spree in this train, which is incredibly scary. I feel like Oof. I think this is like effectively scary. Just being on a train with someone who is just seemingly randomly stabbing people and looking so happy doing it. And one of the men, he stabs in the neck and then bites and like rips out a chunk of his neck and it sprays blood in this fountainy way that's absolutely like not possible, but it makes like a fountain of blood that sprays up to the roof of the train and is just drenched. It's like puddles of blood now collecting in the floor of this train car and everyone watching in shock and some people immediately becoming also infected and attacking each other. So it just spreads really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
This is where some of the sexual violence starts. We see people trying to rape people on the train of raping men, raping women. It just is everything they can think of is happening. And
oh, God,
we see Kat watching this in terror. She's kind of huddled in a corner. There's, you know, no escape. And she's now huddled with the woman who she gave her spot to. The businessman got up at some point because he was pissed or something and walked away. And so these two women are huddled together and the businessman comes back and we see now that he is also infected. His eyes are red and he looks at them, says something probably fucking gross to them. His like anger at being rejected turns into a desire to rape and kill Kat.
Mm-hmm.
But he has an umbrella with him. And with his umbrella, he takes out the other woman. Her name is Molly. Pokes Molly's eye out. Like, takes that out of her skull.
Okay.
And then we arrive at the next train stop and the doors open and Kat grabs Molly, who is like screaming and bleeding out of her head and obviously freaking the fuck out, and grabs her. And I mean, a bunch of people just like rush off this train trying to get out of this train station. Some people are staying in the train covered in blood, having sex still, naked people. It's madness. And we see that she in this Kat loses her cell phone. She drops it as they're running off the train and we see the texts from Jim. And the train station gets pretty quickly empty considering all the people that just ran out, but they're running for the exit and we see businessman behind them, like at one end of a hallway. And at the other end of the hallway, the public transportation worker is like closing a gate to try to lock people in there because they've figured out something is going on and they're trying to, you know, keep it contained, I guess. And businessman breaks the glass of an emergency thing and grabs an axe out of it and is again yelling things at Molly and Kat. And they run and are screaming like, hold the door, like, let us out, let us out. And the guy's not holding it for them, but they're just barely able to slide under the grate as he is closing it. And they make it out just in time. Businessman gets locked in and is standing, you know, through the gate, calling out to them like, I'm going to get you. And he's like wiggling his tongue at them, being all gross.
Gross. So when they become like zombies, they can still talk and
yes.
Like, ugh. Well, you know what? I'm not loving it so far. I'm just going to tell you.
So far, not for me.
Yeah. There's a lot left.
I know, Sammy.
No, we're going to get through it fast.
Okay.
So as they're outside now, right outside the metro station, Molly punches the metro worker guy. And he's an annoying little
weasel.
Know. Yeah, weasel. Thank you. That's exactly right. He's like, they told me to close it. And they were like, you could see us calling out to you. And he's all crying over being punched in the face. And they ask him, how do we get to the hospital? He directs them to it and he goes with them. And we see them make it into the hospital. And then we cut back to Jim, who is now on his Vespa on his way to town, And we see that the main tunnel is completely blocked with cars that have crashed into each other. So there's no way in. So he's going to have to take the long way, which is like through a rural. Rural is a funny word.
It's a funny word. Rural.
Rural juror.
The rural juror. The rural juror.
Rural juror. Remember?
The rural juror.
Did you guys see that 30 Rock episode?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever can know what the name of the movie is.
I think that both response, you both. Yeah, of course.
We just both said it.
We've been saying it. Have we seen the thing that we're referencing? Yeah.
Okay, well, you don't have to be mean about it.
Sorry. Aw, and Leah, sorry.
I'm sorry, Emily.
I wanted to take You're a lighthearted right. moment to talk about the Roar Jar, but you just Roar shut Jar. Me down.
We should no, take I'm a lighthearted sorry. Moment. We should savor these lighthearted moments.
We're all you know,
we're in a bad
we're
headspace.
Not our best selves.
It's bringing out the worst in us.
Okay.
So he's going through kind of a grassy area and he finds a scythe or a sickle. I don't really know the difference, but you can picture, you know, that kind of thing that you like use to cut weeds or corn or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Picks that up. That's going to be handy. That seems like a pretty good weapon. Maybe not as good as a fire poker, but pretty better than nothing. And he comes upon a group of infected teenage boys that seem like they were on like a softball team or something. They're all in a uniform and they have baseball bats or maybe softball bats.
I think it's the same bat, but different ball.
We don't get a look at the ball. Or maybe we do. I don't really remember.
Well, I mean, I think they're all the same bats.
But you can picture what they kind of look like. And yeah. the weapons they're wielding. Bats.
Got it.
Suffice to say, they're bats.
And they are absolutely beating the shit out of a man. His face is swollen like twice the size of a normal head because of how much he has been beaten.
Oh no.
He is like bleeding from everywhere. They're all laughing, having a grand old time. It seems like it's not sadistic enough for them. And one of them has a little light bulb idea. I've got an idea. Find some barbed wire.
No.
And wraps it around a pole. And then they grab him with his legs, like his legs spread, and they run him crotch
no!
first into the barbed wire over and over.
No!
What the fuck?
Jim, for some reason, decides he's going to go in and break this up and save this man, which I guess is I guess is noble, but it's also absolutely insane.
No, it's
insane.
Stupid. It's fucking stupid and wrong.
Yeah, so he goes in there with his little scythe and is able to overpower one of the kids and gets the baseball bat from him and hits him with that and the kids do run off and he gets the guy, which is also like, what are you going to do with this man now? He's clearly, he's going to die.
Mortally injured. Yeah.
And it just, yeah, seems it's was not well thought out. But this man looks at him, or we think looks at him. His eyes are absolutely swollen shut. Jesus. And he says, "Why did you stop them? I was just about to come." And laughs in his face.
My God.
Okay.
Well, I hate this.
Yep. Yep.
So I hate this so much.
Oh my God. It gets worse. It gets worse.
Oh my God. 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 Fuck,
so
fuck,
now we're
fuck.
Back to Kat and Molly. And Metro guy just arriving in the hospital waiting room. The hospital seems pretty well contained. No one is infected in there, but obviously everyone's injured. It's like the emergency room. Like no one looks good, but seems like no one's infected in there. So she brings in Molly and the nurses immediately take Molly back into the hospital to have surgery. They tell Kat, she has to stay out here in the waiting room with everybody else. And the Metro guy's like, what about me? My nose, she punched me. And they're like, you're going to be fine. Like, it's not broken. Stop whining about it. Again, he looks like really mad about this. Like, he's not being tended to enough. And Kat asks to use his phone and he doesn't want to. And she screams at him, basically grabs it from him, says, "You almost got us fucking killed. Like, let me use your goddamn phone." And like snatches it out of his hand. He's like, little baby.
Little mad man.
She texts Jim and says, "I'm at the hospital. I lost my phone." And I think he's like riding on his Vespa at this point. So he's not like immediately responding, but now he knows where she is. And after she texts him, this emergency broadcast comes on from, it's like military generals and the president. And they're saying, you know, X percent of the population seems to be infected with the Alvin virus. And that's something like 4 million people, but we're going to get it under control. And we have all these units dispatched and like help is on the way. And as this broadcast is happening, of course, the head army general's eyes start getting really swollen and red. Oh, and on this live broadcast, he then goes on a rampage, grabs a grenade from somebody, pulls the pin, and I think he like licks it as he's pulling the like sexually suggestively licking this grenade as he like pulls the pin out of it and then shoves it into the president's mouth. President's head explodes on live television and everyone is very shaken in this hospital waiting room.
Shaken.
They're like not reacting that big. But Kat is looking.
We're just feeling a little shaken.
We're all just a little
event.
Shaken in here. I think that, yeah, they're just like shocked. They don't like know what to do. No one's
yeah, of
like
course not. Of
screaming,
course not.
But they're all just like, what the fuck? Okay. And there's a security guard guarding the door with his back to the door. And we see the businessman walking up behind him with the axe. And Kat and him make eye contact and he smiles and winks at Kat. And then through the glass door axes, the guard in the back breaks this glass door so that then this horde of infected people all run in. Everybody runs. Kat runs down into the hallway one direction and Metro guy runs another direction. And Metro guy runs past Molly, who seems to be out of surgery and has her eyes now bandaged. And she seems like sedated. She's like pretty out of it. And she's just in a wheelchair outside of a hospital room. And he like looks at her and kind of does a double take, like, what do I do? And then just like runs past her and hides under a gurney or something. And
oh, God.
As he does, the businessman comes back there and finds Molly and asks her where your friend Kat is, or no, where your friend is. He doesn't know her name. And basically, I don't know, says something like that's clearly who he wants to rape, but she's not okay here right now. So he says, "We'll have fun together, you and I." And he takes her eye bandage off, and I'm so sorry to report that he
no, 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 no. Don't say it. Don't say it. We know. We know.
You know.
We know.
Yeah.
Yep. What the fuck?
Yep. Which, like, I think would kill her. It's like she's screaming the whole time, and it's like a really long, it's like mostly on the Metro guy's face as he's hiding, like hearing her screams during this. But like, I feel like you would die. I don't think you'd be.
Yeah, seems like you would die. Seems like you would die. So when you're infected, it doesn't really even turn you into a zombie. It just makes you like, cause you can still like strategize and like,
yeah,
think for yourself kind of.
Yeah.
You
we'll
know?
Get some exposition about it at the very end of the movie where all the exposition should be. I guess that's fine. but yeah, so that's horrible, and I'm seething, and I can see that you're both seething as well, and everybody's mad, nobody's having a good time.
It's really bad. It's really bad. 91% on Rotten Tomatoes.
91%. We're all asking ourselves, how does this happen? Why?
How does this happen? Why?
We see Kat in a hallway. She at some point took the phone from the Metro guy. So she has the phone now. She calls Jim. She's able to get through to him so they can talk to each other. And she basically says the hospital's under attack. I don't know what to do. Like, I'm so scared. And he says, just hide somewhere and text me wherever you are. I'm coming there right now. So that's her plan. And we see where Jim is. He's by a lake that has a floating mannequin head in it. And he has a hallucination that it like comes to life and it's a decapitated head and it's like licking its lips and like blood is coming out of its mouth. And it's like, that's just so stupid. I'm sorry I had to include it. It's just like, I hate this movie. So then we see the businessman goes off to go look for Kat some more. And now the Metro guy's coming out of his hiding spot because no one's around except for Molly. And
who's still alive?
Who's still alive. And he goes.
But not infected.
She does get infected by now.
Okay.
But I don't know if this is the moment. Let's just say this is the moment we see because I don't really remember. But
do you think anybody's still listening to our podcast?
It's hard to say. Really hard to say.
Hello out there, little stranger.
I really hope not. So he goes into the waiting room where basically the main attack happened. And everybody is naked and bloody, and it's basically just a bloody orgy happening.
Okay.
And as he stumbles upon this, I think this is when Molly comes in and we see that she's infected, and her and the rest of the infected kill Metro guy. And I think they like saw him in half with one of those like brain cutters.
Sure.
Yeah,
a little brain cutter.
That's the medical term, mm-hmm. I believe.
Mm-hmm. 100% medically.
All right, you guys, I'm here again to talk to you about Skims, except this time, not about their underwear, this time about their t-shirts. Have you guys tried their t-shirts? Because I hadn't until recently, and holy shit, I have been on the quest to find the perfect t-shirt for my entire adult life. And little did I know, they were just hiding at skims.com. So I have their cotton jersey long sleeve t-shirt in kind of this like deep blue, gorgeous color. And it's a very form-fitting t-shirt that's extremely flattering. I've worn it over and over and over again since I got it. And it really holds up in the wash. You can just throw it in the washing machine, holds up, keeps its shape. The quality of the fabric is so good. I also have the boyfriend t-shirt. That one's so cozy, more relaxed. I just am obsessed with them. And now I want all of them. So I will slowly be amassing my collection of Skims t-shirts for the rest of my goddamn life. Anyway, so I really can't recommend them enough. Go to skims.com to shop them. And they're available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. Plus, you get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that Too Scary Didn't Watch sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select Too Scary Didn't Watch in the drop-down menu that follows.
My mom has had a pretty wild life, a lot of interesting stuff. She was in a couple popular bands in South Africa in the 80s. She's traveled all around the world, and she is so full of stories that I'm still finding out new things about her. So this Mother's Day, I know just what to get her. It's called Storyworth, and Storyworth helps you preserve those memories and stories from your mom or mother figure for years to come. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a question. You can help choose the questions if you'd like. Some that I've asked my mom are, what was your first boss like? What were your favorite toys as a child? And all they need to do is respond to the email with a story. It can be long or short. They can even include pictures if they want. Sky's the limit. So you can enjoy their retelling of your favorite stories and new stories you've never heard before. After a year, Storyworth compiles all their stories into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come. I love this. I love having these kinds of physical items, whether it's a journal or a photo book. I know we can have all this stuff on our phones now or the computer, but it's just not the same. Having something actually tangible is just the best. So give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/too scary. That's storyworth.com/too scary to save $10 on your first purchase.
The accurate skull saw?
The skull saw.
We cut back to Kat, who is on a staircase, absolutely not hiding at all for some reason, just as if she's just like tired resting, which is, she's not injured at all. It's just so crazy.
You just simply can't.
And but it's also like she's not presented like she's in shock. I don't know if this is a performance issue or something, but she just looks like she's just decided to like take a little rest here. And then she's like shocked and terrified when two infected people bust in on her and find her and
find her out in the open.
Out in the open, you're not hiding. Go fucking hide.
Also, like, if you're going to have to run away from people, a staircase is the last place I'd want to have to do that. Whether we're running right up or down, it's harder than flat. So, like, if you're going to be in the open, at least be in the open on stable ground.
Really poor planning on Kat's part.
And it doesn't matter
here that
I'm saying this because nobody's listening to the podcast anymore. Right. But you get it.
Henley, it's now truly a safe space, truly just a discussion between friends.
That's all I've ever wanted.
Yeah, this is all we're doing.
That's all I've ever wanted.
So we see two infected people chasing after her. She runs up the stairs. This is now part of the hospital that's under construction. There's, you know, the little plastic sheeting hung everywhere, creepy ambiance. She is able to close the doors to a hallway and pulls off the metal arm of a hospital bed to put through the door handles to block it. Am I describing this well?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Yeah.
I totally get it. I totally see it.
Lock them out. But it's, you know, not holding very well, and they're really banging against it. It's like gonna give eventually, and she sure stands and stares at it for a long time to be like, is it gonna hold?
Let me just wait this out. I put something into practice and I would like to see the fruits of my labor. How many shells does it take to break the lock that I built?
If I watch it will hold.
And the businessman appears and shoves the other two guys out of the way and sticks his face through the hole between the doors and is telling her how excited he is to see her because he's going to fuck her to death. And he is then able to break through and gets into the hall with her. She's running down the hall and she finds a fire extinguisher and turns back and like blasts that in his face. And it, stops him for a second. He can't see where he is, disorients him. And then she bashes his head in with the fire extinguisher.
Great.
And this effect looks pretty good. I think this was probably the best looking effect. You see, like, she fucking destroys his skull. There's parts where you see, like, individual teeth falling out of his head.
Oh my god,
it looks pretty good, but in some way it also felt anticlimactic. It's like he's the big bad guy in this movie and it was kind of just there
a little too quick.
I don't know, something about it felt just like poorly. The buildup, what I don't know, maybe I was just too mad to
this movie. Sucks.
Yeah, it's bad. Then she is pulled into a room by a man in basically like hazard gear, complete like a hazmat suit type thing. And this is the maternity ward. We see like the empty baby, no babies in there.
Okay.
But this is where he's set up.
I do feel like Sam, you warned us about violence against children.
Yeah, it's good to maybe start preparing for that.
Okay. So
she goes in this room with this guy and we see that it is the scientist, I think, from the broadcast earlier from the interview that was worried about the album virus. He is doing all his little tests in here and he has a gun, and at gunpoint he tells her to handcuff herself in a shower that's in this room.
No.
Which I was like, no, just say no. And thankfully she does say no, which I at least appreciated that
the attempt
to say no. And he basically, because there's still, infected people very close by. And so obviously if you're handcuffed and they get in,
you're dead.
Absolutely fucked. You're dead. But he basically says, you can either handcuff yourself, I'll shoot you right now, or you can go back out there.
I mean, shoot me right now. Like, I want to die.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd be I'd be trying to get my hands on a gun so that when push comes to shove, I can kill myself.
Yeah.
That's all I'm thinking about right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But she does decide, she handcuffs herself in the shower, and it's one of the chemical disinfectant showers. So he presses a button and it's showering her with very cold chemicals, but also like not very well. She's, by the way, at this point, drenched head to toe in blood.
Okay, so that doesn't necessarily infect you.
Yeah, and so she's cleaned off, but still so much blood on her. It just seems like not a sterile environment at all. And this is where we get our exposition dump. He starts monologuing about how the Alvin virus has mutated to affect the part of the brain that controls sex and aggression.
Cool.
And it makes people do the worst, most horrible things they can think of, but they're still fully conscious that what they're doing is wrong and bad. But the drive to do it is so strong that it's like telling someone not to blink.
Okay.
It says that he says they need their victims to be suffering. That's why they don't attack each other, which isn't true. We saw them attacking the guy, the baseball team. That guy was also infected.
And having a good time.
Yeah.
And having a good time. So
the kids are worse at it.
Again, like,
not making sense.
Plot holes, not making sense. Yeah, logically. How does this get fucking passed?
And
from
also,
one
how would this guy actually know all of this, really?
He literally, this morning, no one had been infected.
Yeah, exactly.
When did he learn all of this? Exactly. What studies is he doing? Where's his lab?
And if he knew this now, did he discover this over the course of the past couple hours? Or did he know this morning and just didn't fail to mention it?
I can't imagine how he could. How could he?
Doesn't make any sense.
Well, I certainly hate it.
Yeah. So she is eventually like somewhat rinsed off. Doesn't seem like enough to me, but they don't seem too concerned about it, even though it's like very much a life or death situation. She gets into some scrubs. He like makes her change in front of her. He's creepy. Like, his vibe is very scary. And
but he's not infected? Like, have we seen his teeth
and
his
eyes? He's not infected.
Okay.
But he's, like, very much not...
like a good person.
A good scientist that's like, oh, he has all the answers. Like, he seems sinister. He's, like, pacing around like a fucking evil genius.
Is that how we know?
That's maybe kind of how we're feeling.
Okay.
But, okay. So she's very scared of him. He's not good. And she texts Jim, like, kind of secretly on the phone. She like turns her back to him and she's texting. She's like, okay, I'm almost done throwing away all my bloody clothes without gloves into this just regular trash can that doesn't seem like sterile where hazardous waste should go. And so she texts him, and then as she throws the pile of clothes and the phone into the trash starts crying.
Oh, what?
Oh no.
Is this children?
Oh no.
Oh no.
And all the babies are in the trash.
No.
And the top baby is still alive.
No, I don't want to know anything more.
The top baby?
No, I'm
not
listening.
Yes, there were many babies in this maternity ward, and the top one is infected. No. You see it has its red swollen eyes. And this scientist looks like, I'm sorry you had to see that. And, like, basically pushes her out of the way, strangles the baby, kills it, and tells her, you know, the babies were going to die anyways when I came here. The room, they had all been abandoned. And so I thought I could at least, inject the virus into them and see if any of them were immune. That would help us find a cure.
Okay.
And she's obviously, you know, horrified. And he injects her with the virus.
Okay.
And
okay.
Says, you know, within the next 5 minutes, we'll know whether or not you're immune. And if so.
Feels like not a very controlled experiment. What are our variables here?
So loose. so loose.
Okay.
This whole fucking movie's real fast and loose with any sort of
logic
reason, rules.
Yeah.
I'm so mad. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm supposed to be reacting and responding, and I'm realizing that I can't. Everything's been shut down. And yeah, you've left there's your nothing body. Left. I have.
We're almost done, luckily. We're almost done.
Okay.
Great. Okay.
Okay.
Cool. So he injects her, says within 5 minutes, we'll know if you're infected. If you are, we're going to go to the roof. A helicopter is going to pick us up. I've negotiated with whatever the government to go and help work on the cure or whatever. So they wait. She doesn't seem to be turning or getting infected. And so he uncuffs her and they start walking down the hallways to get to the roof, to the stairs to the roof. And as they get to a corner, one of the infected has the businessman's axe and axes down on the scientist's foot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's high. It's like super high up on the foot. So basically only his heel is left, like chops off the whole foot, which I don't know. I've never seen that before. You see maybe a toe get chopped off. I'd never seen a foot get chopped off that high. And so that I was like, oh, huh.
You're like, this is an interesting part of the movie. The whole foot.
This is interesting.
I'm back on board.
A whole foot. One interesting thing.
You don't see that every day.
You don't see that every day. Why is that something that I appreciate it?
You're looking for anything. You're trying to hold on to anything. At this point, you're just give me something.
Anything but fucking dead babies and rape. I'll take a 1,000 feet chopped off. I hate
this movie. Why is this kind of shit even greenlit? Like,
right. That's my question. My anger goes all the way up the fucking ladder. Oh, like,
that's why we're so pissed at Shudder.
Like, somebody had to write this. Some fucking little freak bitch had to write this. and then like 25 people. And imagine that little
freak bitch getting a fucking 91% on Rotten Tomatoes and getting positive reinforcement.
This little motherfucker gets to go, I'm good. I made a good movie. Good for me. I'll do more.
You didn't, Rob. You did people not, like Rob.
Me. I'm good. I'm smart. I did a good job. Fuck no, you didn't.
You did a really bad job.
You unleashed hell onto this earth and we will not forgive you.
This is a stain on our record as humans.
Yeah, this is one of the worst things that humans have done. Absolutely tarnishing the name of human beings.
We had a stellar record before this. We've
done good things mostly. Unbelievable.
So he's now stumbling around with most of a foot missing, but he's got his gun with him, and the infected are attacking them and he's shooting them and kills the ones that are attacking him. And then at the end of the hall, we see Jim has arrived and Kat is so excited to see him, but we see he is infected.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Eyes are puffy. Mm-hmm. It's heartbreaking for Kat. And because he is still kind of a little bit himself, it's confusing. Again, these are also the rules that are a little confusing. I think he goes to attack the scientist first and seems excited to see Kat. But I don't know, is just obviously not himself. And so I can't remember how he kills the scientist, but he does. And in the scientist's dying breath, he talks about how much he loved killing those babies. I don't know why they thought that this movie needed that, but maybe so we can like be satisfied watching him die. It's just like a confusing thing from a like writing perspective. Like he's just like, oh man, like killing those babies really was the highlight of my life. Like this has been great. Goodbye. So weird.
Okay. Thank you. No thanks. We'll pass. Are we thinking he created this virus?
I don't think he did, but
he's just loving it. He's just loving every second of it.
Maybe he did. I don't know.
Okay.
Feels like that would have been something he would have talked about in his last moments.
Yeah, that's true. He would have said that in his dying breath.
Yeah, that's true.
Fucking bitch.
Yeah, he doesn't keep anything hidden. But Kat is able to grab the keys to the roof from him and closes a gate between herself and Jim. So they're on two sides of this gate. So she's able to safely talk to him. And he's telling her he's like crazed and seems like rabid. But is talking to her and saying, you know, today is the first time I ever felt purpose in my life. When you were in danger, I like wanted to come to you. I wanted to protect you. It was the most I've ever felt like my life had meaning. I just knew I had to come here. I had to come for you and chop your tits off and feed them to you.
What?
It's like not even, it's.
I knew some fucking shit like that was coming.
Oh, I'm laughing now in the retelling, but you better believe I was seething when it was happening.
Yeah. Well, just hearing it out of like not watching it is so insane. It sounds ridiculous. It sounds like if something that would be said in like a South Park episode.
Man, motherfucker who this came from his brain.
Rob Shabazz. Public Enemy number one. Mm-hmm. Overtaken Eli Roth.
I like Eli more.
I was going to say it made me like Eli Roth more. This movie made Green Inferno look so good. So.
I got it. Oh, I'm so mad.
She's looking heartbroken. Her love is no longer himself. She turns to go to the roof, gets to the roof, opens the door. It's just this very bright light coming through, and we just see her silhouette disappear outside, and we hear kind of distant gunfire and the sounds of obviously a city under siege and craziness happening. And Jim sits with his back to the gate. I think he's been stabbed or shot maybe from the scientist, and he is dying, and he sits and dies and smiles real big while he's dying as the camera like pushes into his smiling zombie face. And that's the end of the movie.
What? Wait, what happened to Kat?
She made it to the roof. So
maybe she's like, little okay. Cause she like
ambiguous. Maybe she made it. Maybe she didn't. It's maybe a litmus test for us, the viewer, to decide.
Oh, who the fuck cares? Like, honestly, at this point,
exactly. That's the biggest takeaway.
Cares?
It's like, I honestly even hope Kat dies.
I literally don't care. I hate this. I hate
all
this.
Of them to die.
God, that does this, the success of this movie means they're going to be able to make more movies, and that's what's not okay. This needs to stop now.
It really was shaking my view of humanity reading the positive reviews of this movie. It just made me feel gross to see anyone that liked this movie. Because it's not even good. There's no plot, really. Nothing really happens in it. The characters are not interesting. Everything's very one-dimensional.
It's just shock value for shock value. It's just like, yeah, we're gonna rape and kill people for fun. And that's it.
How do you write a positive review of that and feel like, let's publish this and I'll be proud of writing this positive review of this movie where that's absolutely saying nothing? It's so stupid.
I'm so mad.
I'm very mad as well. And I'm
mad at this singular individual who I've never met. I haven't felt this way since we did The Green Inferno, where I'm like, I don't know this person, but I think they're disgusting and I hate them. and like, I want to scream at them. I want to find this person. I want to go to some fucking event that this man is at. And
I want to find his greatest insecurity, and I want to tell it to him. I want to make him feel so small. I want to ruin this man emotionally for what he has done.
Yeah.
And for the blight on the otherwise pristine record of humanity, males making movies. Fucking Christ. I'm so mad.
Yeah, I really couldn't believe it. And that I you can see how even after finishing, I've considered, do I watch a whole do I stay up late watching a whole new movie to recap? But I just felt like it was it got a big enough reaction from me that I felt compelled to talk about it, release, process with my friends in a safe space.
Did you read the Roger Ebert review, which is not Raj, it's one of, you know, the little cronies who work there?
Yes, and it was pretty positive.
Yeah, I'm reading it right now. So it got 3 stars. All right, last week we did The Black Coat's Daughter, which was like not a great movie, but like pretty, you know, like I definitely can see the merits in it. And that only got, I think, 2 stars. So it's got more stars than it.
3 is way too many.
The last sentence of this review is, I don't know how he or his collaborators will top the sadness, but I look forward to seeing them try.
It makes me feel insane. I don't want to live in a world where that is the last sentence of a review of this movie.
I want to find that guy's greatest insecurity. I want to go to some event that he's at. I want to ruin him emotionally.
Simon Abrams, we're coming for you, Simon.
Simon, welcome to the list.
We're going
to
make a fucking Kill Bill hit list.
Oh, my God. Oh.
I'm going to recite it to myself every night before I go to sleep.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You guys know I had a roommate in New York who did that when I first moved to New York.
What?
Yeah, I did.
With her enemies?
Yeah, with her enemies. I lived with 2 like 40-year-old women when I first moved to New York, and both of them were waitresses, and they had a feud going. And
between each other?
Yeah, between each other.
Ooh, that's traumatic in a stressful home environment.
It was not fun for a lot of reasons, but that was one of them. But one of them told me that the other one kept a list of names that she recited to herself every night before bed.
Well, this was pre-sadness, so I don't even know what those names could have been.
I know. I'm sure Simon was on the list. Simon Abrams.
I'm sure he is now if he was not then.
I'm so angry.
I was so mad. Okay, and this is what I was going to say is I very rarely need palate cleansers. Mm-hmm. I usually can watch most horror movies and go straight right to bed and sleep soundly and everything's fine. I'm usually actually in a good mood after I watch a horror movie. This movie, my heart rate, probably my blood pressure was like double normal numbers. Like my heart rate was skyrocketing. I was so fuming mad. I couldn't even think what I could possibly watch as a palate cleanser to make anything better. Like it was just, it's like,
you're in such a state of hopelessness. Like nothing seemed like it would bring you back.
Like I was like, Frasier won't even begin to scrape the surface of like what I need. And so I ended up watching a documentary about cats.
Okay, that's good.
Which did help a little bit.
Was like one about cat shows?
No, I did. I couldn't find that one.
You got to do because it's an absolute delight.
I do want to watch that one, but I think it was because it was late enough that I knew I probably wouldn't be able to finish it. And that movie I want to really watch. So I think it was just whatever, something on Netflix, like all about cats or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Did it help?
And it did help.
I might do that today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So listeners, if there are any of you left,
you're not here anymore. It's just us. just us in the void.
Watching a documentary about cats, because cats are really cool.
Cats are
creatures.
So cool.
Let's just better.
Hey, forget, like, we didn't talk about a movie, but you know what, I like cats.
If you don't like cats, I'm sure there's documentaries about dogs. I'm sure there's a documentary about whatever animal you like. And so go watch that.
But also, if you don't like cats, why maybe explore that.
It is interesting, the like psychological meaning behind cat people and dog people.
Well, because also, I think to be fair, to people who don't like cats, a lot of those people have grown up around bad, really mean cats. Yeah.
Yes. I think it can either be that or
you're allergic to them.
If you're allergic to them, I'm sorry for you. And that's sad.
I think one interpretation could be a need for being loved by like needing acceptance from the people in your life.
Sometimes cats will make you feel like shit. Yeah,
and sometimes cats make you feel really bad. Or more, I guess, that dogs always make you feel really good. Like dogs are pretty across the board friendly.
Joel has said dogs are what people wish people were like. Cats is what people are like.
Yeah.
You know, cats are fickle, complicated.
Yeah. They have their own needs.
Perfect.
They're just doing what they want to do.
So goddamn cute.
So cute. I'll send you guys a video this morning of Theo and Mabel grooming each other. Oh, so that's really cute. And then they started fighting, which is like, you know, that's ain't that just the way it goes?
Thank God. Mabel really acclimated so well.
She's living her best life.
Guys, send us your cat videos.
Send us your cat videos.
Send us videos of your pets. Spooky season is over.
I can't believe it.
But it's spooky season all year long here at Too Scary to Watch.
Yeah.
And we'll never have to do this movie again.
No.
Yeah, we did.
Never
it.
Again.
We did it. We crossed it off our list.
And we will never do another movie he ever does. And
Rob
I hope
Shabazz
he never makes another movie.
And I can't say that. He's gone from my reality. I've wiped him. Which I won't, like, I did not feel that way about Eli Roth. I mean, I felt angry at Eli Roth, but like, I'll watch other Eli Roth movies. I mean, obviously he won me back a little bit with Knock Knock, which was...
Of course.
You know,
and Keanu, he cares about sharks. What does Rob Shabazz care about? Yeah. I don't know. And I don't want to know. I don't fucking want to know.
Rob, really
playing out the end of this episode as if no one is listening. And I hope that's the case.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Let's end this horrible, horrible episode. I'm so sorry.
Roll credits.
I'm so sorry to everybody. No fucking voices. Fuck this movie.
We're so sorry. Sorry, guys.
Fuck
it's not
Rob.
Us.
We love you. Fuck Simon. Everybody go home and read your kill hit lists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go say them out loud. Pet a cat. Watch a cat movie. And fucking we'll see you next time, you know?
We'll see you next time from all of us here at Too Scary Didn't Watch. Just a good old-fashioned goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you like the show, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and give us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can follow us on social media at TSDW Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And if one episode a week just is not enough for you, head on over to patreon.com/TSDW Podcast to become a patron and receive all sorts of extra goodies from us, including bonus episodes, trailer reactions, and more. And no matter what, we will see you right here next week for another episode. We love you so much. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.